Good morning, brothers and sisters. A time comes in every conference for me when I feel sorry for all the people that have to listen to such a lot. I hope that you are not being too tired with the speakers. In that case, I think we've got the right message for you this morning. Blessed are the merciful. They shall receive mercy. So as our brother has prayed and claimed and crowned the Lord as the Lord of this time, we will go directly to the next beatitude in Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew 5. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Now this is one of the spiritual laws about sowing and reaping. There's quite a few such laws in the Sermon on the Mount. And I could use another little illustration. I call this a boomerang law. You know what a boomerang is? I saw some time ago a television program about how the Australian hunters, how they were able to handle a boomerang. And it was amazing. When they threw this thing up in the air, they were able to do it with such a precision, is that the word, that it came back, and if they didn't bow their heads, they would be hit right in their head. Now, the boomerangs that God is handling, they're even more precise. Doesn't matter whether you bow or run away, they'll find you and hit you. We have such a law which is connected with this beatitude that we are sharing this morning in Matthew 7 and verse 1 and 2. Do not judge, lest you be judged yourselves. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you. Now you can use different standards of measure if you want to judge your brother or your sister. One is to use the standard of righteousness. Another one is to use the standard of grace. And you will get back exactly what you are giving. It will come back the same measure. God will find you somehow, somewhere, sometime. And you will get paid for whatever you sow, whatever you do, whatever you say to your brothers and sisters and to your fellow men. If you really want to ruin your life, I can point out a way for you this morning. Maybe you will be amazed, but if you look in this little strange book of Ecclesiastes, and look up in the 7th chapter and verse 16. Ecclesiastes 7:16. Do not be excessively righteous and do not be overly wise. Why should you ruin yourself? Isn't that strange? Be not too righteous. Be not too wise. Why would you want to ruin yourself, there is such a standard of the righteousness of perfection where we are claiming the uttermost from one another in the company of God's believers, and we won't be satisfied with anything less than the perfect things. But this could be a dangerous way if we have that kind of attitude in our fellowship, that we are requiring that our group of believers should be absolutely perfect. Our brothers and sisters should be perfect. There must be no fault, no weakness amongst us. I know a brother in Copenhagen who had that kind of attitude. We called him a perfectionist. He wouldn't be satisfied unless we had the perfect church. And everything ought to be perfect right down to the letter of the Word of God. Nothing else he could tolerate. And it turned out into him this attitude of perfection to be a critical spirit. And you know, he could hurt his brothers and sisters very much. But the one he hurted more than brothers and sisters were himself. And he broke down one day and he was brought to a mental hospital. And he was sick for 2 years. What a tragedy. He required so much of his brothers and sisters that it came back that someday the same measure, the same standard were sort of, so to speak, were put on his own life, and he broke down. He couldn't live up to that standard. How important it is for us to have this attitude of heart. Blessed are the merciful. They shall receive mercy. I remember reading in one of Brother Nee's books about a certain brother out in China that had a habit, whenever something went wrong in the company of the believers, he would always come along and he would say, "It's the hand of God." And in one of his books, Brother Nee is writing how in one particular case, there was a young couple who lost one of their children. And this brother came to see them, and he stepped into their house, and he proclaimed, "This is the hand of God." He meant that it was a kind of punishment, that there was something wrong in these dear people's lives. And you know, the sad thing happened that a year later, he lost his own son. And I remember, if I remember correctly, when Brother Nee heard about that, he sat down and wrote a letter. And he was pointing out in that letter how what had happened to that brother was exactly what he had been doing to other people of the Lord. But as he wrote that letter, the Spirit spoke to him and said, "Now, Brother Nee, you are doing exactly the same thing now as this brother did." Oh, how careful we ought to be not to judge one another. It'll come back upon our own life. It will hit us. And the boomerangs of God never fail. It'll find us somewhere, sometime, maybe later in our lives. Blessed are the merciful. They shall receive mercy. In James, we have another scripture that I would like to read to you this morning. James chapter 2, verse 12. so speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. But judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Oh, I wish that the Lord somehow would impress these words in our hearts, that we would never forget to ask the Lord to give us such an attitude of heart. Blessed are the merciful. They shall receive mercy. Not only does it go for the time down here, if you are merciful, if you forgive, if you are forbearing towards your brothers and sisters, you will get mercy back. I've seen that again and again. There were times where some brother or sister came into a real mess, and it was so easy to criticize, and it was so easy to do away with that brother. We could even have pushed him outside the fellowship. It was so easy. But the Lord gave us mercy to forgive and be forbearing. And then maybe later we came ourselves in the very same situation. Now what happens? Oh, we receive mercy from the brothers and sisters. But not only in this life. But if you want really not to ruin yourself, but on the contrary, to build yourself up, even at the day of judgment, you will receive mercy if you have been merciful yourself. It's the law of what you sow, you shall reap. Why is it that it is so difficult to be merciful? Well, if you look up in Matthew 7 again, you'll see something interesting. The Lord is speaking here, do not judge, let you be judged yourselves. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you. And why do you look in the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the lock that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take this speck out of your eye, and behold, the lock is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the lock out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly enough to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Why is it that it is so clear unto us to see the fault, the speck in our brother's eye, and not notice the lock, the big lock in our own eye? Well, it's because there is a scripture saying that love covers a multitude of sins. And you know, there's no person on this earth that I love so much than myself. Oh, how I love myself. I care for myself. I can't help it, brothers and sisters. Maybe I have shocked you now. You thought I was kind of spiritual. But I do love myself. I might as well admit it right now, so you know what kind of person I am. I love myself, and that love covers a multitude of sins. It's impossible for me to see any, find any fault. I'm perfectly sure that if I was the only one on this earth, there would never be any problem around. Any problem. If I were the only member in the body of Christ, what a body of Christ. What a church. Or if all the others were just like me. My word. What a church. What a glorious church. What an amount of love that would be there. Brotherly love. Love covers a multitude of sins. And because we love ourselves, we can't help it. We are extremely, excessively tolerant to ourselves. The things that you are critical about in your brother, you won't mind doing yourself. You won't even notice that you are doing something wrong. But as soon as someone else is doing the thing, you become critical. You can't see the luck in your own eye, but only the speck in your brother's eye. And I find so very often that a criticism and the tendency to judge my brother, it comes from, it's a sort of a reflection of my own problems. The problems I see in my brothers and sisters is in fact some problems that I have in my own life. When you look into another person's eye, you get a beautiful picture of yourself. Have you tried? A minor picture, but a very clarified, clear picture of yourself. And in fact, if you step on your toe and you look into your brother's eye and you see, ooh, there's a speck in there. It's in fact just a minor picture of your own big luck. You understand? What you see in your brother's eye is your own big luck being reflected. But you can't see into your own eyes, but you see your own nature. And I've found that the things I have been troubled about in my own life, these are the things that I am most sensitive to in my brothers and sisters' lives. And I can be so hard when I see a brother or a sister doing something that I know I'm battling over myself. It's strange, but it's very true. The speck you see in your brother's eye is only a reflection of the big, big luck coming out of your eye. So that's why it's so difficult to be merciful, unless we, by the Spirit of God, can be disposed to ourselves. And we really see how we are, see our own faults, our own sinful lives. And if we can get into that position, and we know certainly how weak we are, how difficult we are, then somehow it will enable us to be merciful towards our brothers and sisters. Now this kind of seeing the speck in the eyes of the brother and not seeing the lock in our own, this is something that has to do with, is it called Phariseeism? If you look up in Matthew 21 and verse 2 to 4, Matthew 23, then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. And they tie up heavy loads and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger." The things that they are craving, claiming from other people to do, they don't do them themselves. This is a problem with us. We are claiming, requiring much more of other people than we will require from ourselves. We are much more tolerant with ourselves than we are with other people. The margin is much wider than it is for all the others. That's what can create such an attitude, can create real Phariseeism among the Lord's people. May God give us this blessed attitude. Blessed are the merciful, they shall receive mercy. I think the only way we can really become merciful is not only by seeing in God's light our own lives, our own imperfection, our own faults and weaknesses. We need to see. We need to ask the Lord to show us. But far more, we need to see the Lord Himself and behold that Lamb of God. And far more, we need to be reminded again and again how God has poured down upon our lives all His mercy, how He has forgiven us. Now, it's because we forget all of that that we can be hard and critical and beat one another. It's too long since we have really been before the Lord and really have understood how much He has loved us and still loves us, and all the mercies He has showered over our lives. You know, the story told by the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 18 about this slave that were forgiven a tremendous amount of money. I think we ought to read it together to be reminded once again how the Lord has shown us mercy. Chapter 18, verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Peter were really interested to know how far he had to go. But 7 times, I believe, somewhere in the Old Testament, in the law, it mentioned that you ought to forgive 7 times. So he wanted to know if that rule was still with the Lord, and if the people in the New Testament dispensation should follow that rule too. Maybe he thought the Lord would cut it down to the half. But on the contrary, we see the Lord said to him, "I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7, that's 490. I used my calculator before I went down to the meeting. If you read in the Gospel of Luke, you can have the impression that maybe the Lord meant every day. Now, if you take your calculator and just take 1 year, it'll be an almost impossible lots of time you have to forgive your brother. More than 100,000 in a year. How are we ever going to have such an overflow of mercy, such a spirit of forgiveness, such an attitude of mercy that can go on and go on and go on? There's only one way to get it, brothers and sisters. That is to behold the Lamb of God. That is to be reminded of the mercy that the Lord Jesus has shown unto us. And it's even more. It says in Ephesians that the Lord needs all of eternity to show unto us all His goodness and kindness and mercy. It's so vast. It's endless. In one of the Psalms in your Bible, it says that the Lord, He is ready to show mercy, ready to forgive, I think it says. Do you know what it says in the Danish Bible? It's a very strange word. The Lord is round to forgive, like a circle. And a circle is endless. You can't tell me where does the circle begin and where does it end. It's endless, absolutely eternal. In all the ages to come, we are to be shown the goodness and the kindness and the mercy of the Lord, and it'll never end. After the first 10,000 years, we still have the same lot left of mercy and goodness and love that He is going to show in Christ Jesus unto us. These 17 years we have down here, it's far too little. Oh, how wonderful he is, that precious Lord, in all his mercy. We ought to be reminded about it. So here is the story in Matthew 18:23. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. That is equal to $10 million. Quite a lot of money. A hopeless debt to have. But since he did not have the means to repay, the Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. That's what happened to you and me. We were sold with all what we are and we have, like slaves under the evil one, because our guilt, our debt to the Lord was so great that if we should measure our life by the standard of righteousness, we would have to be in bondage all of our life and end up in that wicked and horrible place of eternal condemnation, eternal fire. This is the standard of righteousness, brothers and sisters. Our debt is so immense that we will have to pay with our lives, our families, our everything, more than this, that we will have to pay with our eternity if it were not for this mercy of the Lord. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. How great this is. The slave therefore falling down prostrated himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I'll repay you everything." And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. Praise the Lord. He didn't say, "All right, get on your feet and start working for me and start repaying." That wouldn't have been good, wouldn't it? No, he forgave him. $10 million. Oh, what a mercy. And that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. That's equal to $180. What a ridiculous sum compared to the other one. What happened? And he seized him and began to shook him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." So his fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I'll repay you." He was unwilling, however, but went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what he owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to the Lord all that had happened. And what happened? Oh, the boomerang came back. It never fails. The Lord will know about it. He doesn't even need someone to tell him. He can see for himself. Then, summoning him, his Lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you?" And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. "So shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." Blessed are the merciful. I wonder what happened to that slave. It's incredible, isn't it? shortly after he was shown such a tremendous mercy, he was able to be so hard with his fellow slaves. It just reveals the kind of nature we have got, the kind of heart we have got. And it also reveals that desperate need we have, every one of us, to stay in the presence of the Lord, and to be reminded and reminded and reminded again and again and again. Like this man that is spoken of in James 1st chapter, who saw himself in a mirror, and saw what he was like, and saw, I think, all what the Lord had bought him by his precious blood and given him in Christ. And then he went out of the door and he forgot all things about it. How we forget? There was a brother that was healed from a stiff leg in Sweden. One evening there was prayer for sick people. He went forward and it was prayed for him, and his leg was healed and he could bend it, and he jumped around really like the one the paralyzed or lame man in the sanctuary that got healed. But the next Sunday when he came to his church, people saw him walk with a stiff leg like this, and they went to him and said, we thought you got healed the other night. Oh, yes, I did. But, you know, it's the old habit. I forgot. So he was healed all right. But the old habit, he didn't remember. How incredible. But this is one of the most incredible things in our nature. How we forget everything that the Lord has taught us. So easily, so fast, it's gone. So we need to be reminded, and we need to do what is written in this key word of the New Testament, I would say, and certainly a key word in connection with these Beatitudes in 2 Corinthians and chapter 3. And verse 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Behold, with unveiled face, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. This is the only way to be transformed into the same image. If you are dwelling in the presence of the Lord and are beholding the Lamb of God, and if you are aware of the mercy, and this is a fresh vision you've got, then when you meet your brothers and sisters, what an attitude of mercy, what a gentle spirit that will master you. But if you are not beholding the Lord, and it means, even as is put in James 1, continually, not only once, continually, again and again and again and again, beholding the glory of the Lord, the Lamb of God, then His likeness, His beauty will get such a hold on you, such a grasp, that you will be transformed into the same image, like it was with Moses. He went on that mountain
to be with the Lord for 40 days. And he saw the Lord face to face and spoke to him. And when he went down that mountain, his face was shining in such a way he had to put something upon his head. In the same way, when we dwell in the presence of the Lord and behold the Lamb of God, we will come to shine, because there the Spirit will work, the transforming work, melding our spirit, molding our spirit, impressing in our hearts the very same character which is in the Lamb of God. This is the only way. It's very simple, but it is really the only way to be merciful, to be aware of that tremendous mercy that the Lord has shown unto all of us. You know, in Genesis it speaks about the Lord put two big lights on the firmament, the sun and the moon. But really, there's only one light. There's only one source of light. That's the sun. The moon is only a reflection of the sun. It's got no light at all in itself. By the way, you American has been up there and seen for yourself, there's nothing there at all but rocks and sand. It's the most desolate. I wonder why you spend all that billion of dollars to see such a rocket place. There's nothing. Well, that's me and that's you. There's nothing within us. Where's love going to come from? There's no love, no source of love in you. Where's, by the way, even thirst and hunger going to come from? Certainly I cannot stir it up if not there. There's nothing in me that desires the Lord. The Lord says, no man seeketh me. No man. Where is mercy going to come from? Compassion. Everything else. It can only be a reflection of the glory of the Lord. And it can only come to shine forth like on the face of Moses, so from our heart to our brothers and sisters, as we continually behold the glory of the Lord. This is the only way to get such a compassionate heart, filled with mercy. Where the Lord is, there's the Spirit. If you are with the Lord and before the Lord, the Spirit comes down, and the Spirit will impress the nature and the character of the Lamb into your heart and fill you with all these beauties and all these wonderful attitudes that we so much desire. This is why we read in Luke 6:36, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. It comes from the Father. It's something that has to be born in our heart. It's only because we are His children that it is possible. We are not, in that sense, His servants. We're His children. We are born by the Spirit. And if the Spirit can master us and fill us while we behold that precious Lamb of God, we can be merciful as our Father is merciful. Or as it is put in 1 John chapter 4, and verse 11, beloved, if God so loves us, we also ought to love one another. Now it originates
in God.
If God so loved us, then we ought to love one another, because we've got the possibility. We've got the grace to do it. We really ought to do it. It's an obligation. It has become an obligation to love one another, because God loved us. It puts, as you know very well, in verse 19 in the same chapter, we love because He first loved us. Everything of what we have been speaking on from Matthew 5 is only reflections of the glory of that precious Lamb of God. He is the only one who can fill us and move our hearts to be like that. But praise His name, He can do it. As long as we will be in His presence and look into His face. Oh, may the Lord help us, brothers and sisters. How blessed are the merciful. They shall receive mercy. May God give us such an attitude in the church, amongst the believers, that we show mercy everywhere we are. We shall receive it back indeed. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for who You are and what You have done. And we just ask, Lord, again, give us a fresh glimpse of Yourself this morning. Lord, may we see, truly see, the Son of God. Lord, we know there's nothing else that can help us. Oh God, may we truly, with unveiled face, look into that glorious Christ and be transformed to the same image. We thank You, God, for Your endless mercy. We thank You, God, for Your endless forgiveness. We thank You, God, for Your unlimited love. Oh God, how we are thankful. We bow down in Your presence. We want to sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, because that mercy endures forever and ever and evermore. Lord, we thank You that You are going to show that loving kindness and mercies unto us throughout all the coming ages, and what, how much we ever get of that, there will still be just as much left. We thank You and praise You. Lord, we want this day that You should shine forth in our hearts, that the whole day and our fellowship together should be filled with the mercy of God, be filled with the presence of God, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh God, thank You for hearing us. Thank You for being with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.